Well, every morning my journey into the Melbourne studios of the ABC takes me past the new buildings, the nice new buildings of the Australian Catholic University. And for the past month or so, they've been covered with these really eye-catching purple dots. They're about the size of the dinner plate. They go all up the building, several stories up into the air. They're all across the forecourt. They look fabulous. And I never stopped to look at what they are because I just thought they were a design. Well, I've just discovered that these are one of the works by our first guest this morning, and they're just part of my regular routine. As well as making dots, Konstantin Demopoulos works in neon. He paints trees blue, and his work features in cities all over the world, and he's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Con, it's nice to have you here. Tell me about these dots. What are they?
The dots are part of a project called The Purple Rain, which I guess started in Seattle when I was there, and relates to homelessness. More specifically, it's trying to use social media to try to engage people and looking at the issue of homelessness in cities.
So each of these dots, as I say, is about the size of a dinner plate.
Yes,
and then in the
larger,
middle, in the middle of them, there's a white.
There's a QR code in there. And on the dot, there's also a name, and part of the project was when we were in Seattle and we were doing the blue trees in Westlake Park, which is like Federation Square, incredibly dense place where a lot of people come, a lot of homeless. And people said to us, look, just be careful, you know, a lot of homeless people while you're doing this. Well, what we found out was the people that were in that term homeless came and helped colour the blue trees and took some effort into it. And we got to know them, like one in particular, like Mary. Mary was a lovely girl who was also trying to sell her artwork while we were there, homeless, a character. And I started to talk to her and I used to, you know, say, Mary, can you go get some coffee? And it wasn't a homeless person, it was Mary. And I got to know Mary and I got to, you know, there were things about Mary that irritated me, just like my own kids, but things that about Mary that I loved. And I thought, that was what the name was important. It wasn't the title homelessness. And so part of the dots has got the name of the person, a QR code which links directly on your iPhone, which basically if you have a QR, you can actually download on your app a free QR code and you can actually get into the story of Mary or Suzanne or whoever of the 22 people that are part of this particular project.
So I just scan that code onto my phone.
And that comes up.
And I find out her story. And so it makes her a person.
That exactly. And some of the stories are quite horrific. And how people have been able to survive and get through this is a huge positive to the incredible durability that people have.
And did the Australian Catholic University commission this, or did you just come along in the middle of the night and stick dots all over their
building?
Well, that's the
whole thing. I came back from Seattle at one stage, and I had this idea, and I went to my art dealer, Lisa Feely at Feely's Contemporary, and said to her, look, I've got an idea. And then what happens with ideas, which is quite good, she said, well, leave it with me. And she went and spoke to the city of Yarra, and we had a meeting there, and everyone said, yep, I'm interested in doing that. Maybe, and it just kept growing over nearly 2 years, you know, just talking to people. And finally, that's how it develops. And I love that idea, is that you can actually just send an idea out, and people will either go with it or it will end. And that's how it
began. So you're an ideas artist. I mean, sometimes I talk to artists, to visual artists, and what they're really interested in doing is often quite simple. It's often things like saying, I just want to capture that red, you know, that red of the sunset there. I just want to look at that beautiful red, Michael. I just want to capture that red. Or I want to work out whether clay can do something it's never done before. And then I guess there are the people who've got, well, a concept. That's you.
Yeah. I think I like ideas. I'm not, as I call, there are artists who like to be left alone to create what they want and get on with it. I enjoy dialogue. I enjoy being with people. I enjoy, whether it's in the blue trees where we dealt with both arts and forestry people that's why when I talk about my work, I talk we, and sometimes people think that I'm being royal or thinking of myself as regal, but in fact, whenever an artwork like The Purple Rain, The Blue Trees, it's really about people creating it. Almost you have the idea, but then there's just so many people that come together to actually make it happen.
The idea is sometimes, Con, on the face of it seems silly, I mean, the blue. Let's talk about the blue trees. Because about 10 years ago, I can remember this, all I knew was some artist wanted to paint trees in Melbourne blue. And I remember seeing an artist's, you know, a graphic artist's simulation of what it was going to look like when all the trees in the park were painted blue. And I thought, well, I don't know, that's sort of crazy. It looks kind of nice, but do we really need someone to paint the trees blue? And the council, I think, in the end blocked it and said, no blue trees. And then I've come to realise that you're actually a major artist. You've done this all over the world. You've painted trees blue. Yeah. Doesn't of itself make it a good thing, the fact that you've got away with it all over the world. Why do you do this? Why do you paint trees blue?
Well, again, I'll quote Einstein this time, that he said, if an idea is not in its infancy and absurd, it will never go anywhere. And I guess what he was saying is, the absurdity is, as I said to people, is not so much that an artist is colouring trees, which, again, I have to state, is not a paint. It actually washes off. All the cities that we've done it in has disappeared. So it's not, it doesn't.
So it's a water soluble. It's a water soluble pigment soluble,
and it can be washed off. In London, when we did it outside St. Paul's Cathedral, the one great thing, one of the people came up to me and said, one of the journalists said, I noticed that people are photographing your tree, but not photographing the cathedral.
Yeah.
And I thought, and that tree, that old tree that was outside the cathedral, has been cleaning the air, taking carbon dioxide and turning it into oxygen for years. Nobody's looked at it. All of a sudden, we had kids wrapping their arms around it and hugging the tree. Things that you don't.
So it's not desecrating the tree.
It's not desecrating at all.
It's actually making it sacred for
us. Well, I think, as I said to people in Vancouver, the people that you should be worried about are people that cut down 300 or 400 year old trees down, not some artist that comes and colours them for a very short period of time. But as I said to you earlier on.
So it's about deforestation.
It is deforestation. Yeah. We've got 30% of the old growth forest left in the world. When I heard that, when I first came to Melbourne, I thought, God, that means that 70% is gone. Once the other 30%, and in 2010, the Economist published a 14-page paper, headline in front of the Economist here. It's not about not about fuzzy art things. They said, you know, lungs of the world, we have to do something. Mm. These were doctors of, professors of, economists. They weren't artists. As soon as that happened, immediately we got the blue tree started to get a huge change in its direction. We were invited to do it at the Vancouver Biennale. Then after that, we were invited to do it in Seattle, Sacramento, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's become like Christo wrapping things
right,
up.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
It's Demopoulos painting things blue.
That's right.
Has this got something to do with it being Greek? I mean, Greeks do like to paint things white or blue.
Yes.
Sorry to engage in cultural stereotyping, but that is true.
Well, in many cases, it actually started with, I remember my father painting our olive trees white. And in Greece, you use this to protect the tree from bugs. So, look, I don't think it's, I don't think we, it's, the color blue, it was picked, I'm happy that people like yourself look at it as Greek, but it was really more because there are no blue trees. Blue trees don't exist. They only exist in my imagination.
Perhaps it's just me, but the first time I went to Greece, when I came back from Greece, the first thing I did was I painted my kitchen blue because I wanted to be reminded of the happy time I had in Greece.
Yes. No, look, I think it certainly is a Greek colour, and I think it's interesting when the fact that I think as a Greek, I don't mind people look at it. I think most people kind of look at it and are affected both that it's when you see when we did it in Houston and we did something like 400 trees. It was just an incredible colour. And what happens is it changes over time. You know, the leaves are gone and then the leaves come and then colour comes in and it's quite powerful.
Mm. This is Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart, and I'm talking to Con Demopoulos, who is an artist. Would you describe yourself as a political artist then?
I think I'd rather a social artist. I mean, I'm very, as I said to you, I'm influenced by Joseph Beuys, who was one of the top conceptual artists. He talked about social sculpture. I guess I see things like the Purple Rain as an ability to actually get people to look at things that are invisible, that are, perhaps people don't want to know about homelessness and don't want to know about that we're running out of air.
So there's another dimension to the homelessness, the way in which you've treated homelessness, which is some works in neon that are at the Feeley Contemporary Gallery in Melbourne.
Yes.
This is a work called Mind at the End of Its Tether.
Yeah, which really kind of, and again, looks at the medium. And while in the States, neon is used to sell stuff. It's sell, you know, from alcohol to pornography to whatever you
theater.
Want. Theatre. It's very high. And I thought, why not use that to highlight and kind of sell the idea of homelessness? And again, I have to state that I think that even the term that annoyed me initially to start the project was the term homeless, that it isn't homeless. People are houseless. Homeless, we all have a home. It's Australia, it's Melbourne, it's Victoria. What we don't have is a home.
So it's the shelter aspect that you're focused on.
And part of it is that with this project, we're trying to link different organisations to talk to each other, because what we find that although the Australian Catholic University Streets and St Mary's House of Welcome all were in the same city, they didn't really know each other. And already we've talked to places like Utah, who have reduced homelessness, that term which again I don't like, to 75% by giving people houses. Now, people in Melbourne should be talking to Utah, finding out how they have done that.
Yeah.
Utah should be talking to Street here in Melbourne to see how their organisation has started to engage.
So these works in neon, can you describe what they are?
They're actually words and kind of images. And part of it is that we're pushing neon to create a variety of things. It's almost, neon is normally flat,
yeah.
But we've actually designed it so it's almost 3D. It's almost coming at you visually, like some of the terms is invisible, and the word in and visible kind of keep changing, so that basically what you're looking is invisible. And basically we're trying to use words and images to change the way people create things. And the main element is the actual bench, which we have created a bench with the people can, you know, because that's, I kind of see someone's house in some way.
Yeah, yeah, the bench is the sort of symbol in the public mind, isn't it?
That is,
of being shelterless.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, there's another one of your works that I pass every day that I didn't know was by you. I'm obviously very inattentive. It's a great big, look, it looks like a great big waste paper basket out of which are sprouting a whole lot of red canes. And I went and rattled them this morning on my way into work. And in fact, they're made of a sort of metal, some kind of metal, and they clank together. And at night, when they're lit up, it's like a great flower arrangement of these red stalks with no flowers on the top. What's that?
It's called Red Centre. It was commissioned in 2006. It's carbon fiber. It's not a metal, and the sound that it makes is actually not metallic. It's actually quite a lovely. People love to sit and listen to them clacker. They actually talk about in New Zealand, for instance, where we have it by the airport. The taxi drivers wind down the window and hear the sound of it as almost they're chatting to each other.
Yeah, it's a little bit like bamboo chattering together. Yeah. Yeah.
Bamboo doesn't bend, that's the thing, where it's carbon fibre and it actually is quite a...
So once again, you've made works using this material all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, part of it, you know, a lot of the works... you know, it's ideas, and now we've got a lovely piece at Healesville at the where, you know, it's made of steel that it looks like it's floating. I think I've got an image of that in my website. And so again, as you said rightly at the beginning, I'm about ideas and how ideas change people and how ideas. And how we sometimes don't like change, and how we as a society don't like change, but we create change to other ecosystems.
Well, I know another change that you'd like to see is the restoration of the Elgin marbles. These are the marble sculptures and bits of architecture that were taken from the Parthenon in Athens by Lord Elgin in the early 19th century.
I'm glad you said taken.
Well, I'm trying to be even-handed about this, but there has been a long-standing passion among Greeks that they should be put back where they were designed to be.
And I think both legally, morally, whatever, they should be back in Greece. And you know, whatever... the British Museum has already, which initially stated they would never share them with anyone, has already sent one of them to Russia, which is quite a ludicrous situation.
Well, they expect they'll give it back, I suppose.
Well, maybe. But I think in terms of Greece and the Parthenon marbles, I think they are part of Greece. And all the talk about, you know, that the, if they return to the Greeks, they will be ruined, is absolutely wrong. I remember when Gandhi was asked, when the British said, "Well, if we give you India, it's freedom, I guess," there'll be huge amount of bloodshed. And Gandhi said, "Well, that's our blood, and these are our marbles, and we want them back."
Now, briefly, just as we wind up in a minute or so, we're talking about Greece. We're talking about Athens, the capital of Greece. Is the economic crisis there having an effect on people you know?
Look, my uncle, who lives in Athens, said to me many years ago that it's not easy growing old in Greece. But I think the issue with Greece is one that I think the whole of Europe has to make a decision, and it can cripple Greece if it wants to, or it can actually help. And that decision has to be made by the European community. Mm. I don't think it'll be of any value to for Greece to move out of the EU. I think Europe has taken on Greece, and I think there are financial issues, but I think I'm amazed that with people who have PhDs and economic aspects to them, they have all these degrees, and they actually always fall into this well, whether it's Greece or the United States. There's somebody getting paid a lot of money who don't really know a lot.
Con, I love talking to artists who have ideas. You've got a lot of them. Thank you so much for
no
coming
problem.
In.
Thank you.
Con Demopoulos. So his work, one of his many works, is Mind at the End of Its Tether. That's the one that's on the Feely Contemporary Gallery. That's the neon signs we were talking about that addressed homelessness. And that runs there. You can see that there until the 18th of July. You'll find the details on the Books and Arts website. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is Books and Arts on RN. You might be listening on your radio, or you might be very special and listening on your ABC radio app. If you are, good on you.